Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and everybody ought to praise the Lord. This is your host of Lift High the Cross Radio Broadcast, Apostle W.D. Carter, coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio. And today we're going to continue conveying the message, speaking and teaching the message, the harlot church system. The last time we spoke, we were talking about how the leadership in the religious institutions manipulate people into doing what they want them to do through a satanic strategy called witchcraft. Let's continue in that vein. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to begin at the first verse. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Why? Because I love you not? God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Well, let me stop right there, praise the Lord, because the gist of what Paul is saying here is that, praise the Lord, many false apostles, many deceitful workers had come in among the believers, and through their own gullibility, they would receive false people. They would receive people that preached another gospel. Okay, whereas they would not hear Paul, they wouldn't receive him. And Paul was saying, saying to them that he was not taking advantage of them. And this is exactly how it is today. Many of you in the Harlot Church system allow people to take advantage of you. I have developed a saying over the years. The Lord Jesus Christ declared that I'm more than a conqueror and not less than a chump. You have to understand, praise the Lord, that you are not allowed, you are not to allow people to treat you as though you are unimportant, as though you didn't matter, as though they could just simply take advantage of you, and you yourself don't care. But the problem is, praise the Lord, is that you are not looking to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, but you are looking to people to lead you. But the Spirit of the living God is the one who is supposed to be, or if the Spirit of the living God is the one that you are to submit yourself to and allow him to lead you. Because the Word of God declares, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You've got to understand, this is why the system has de-emphasized the absolute necessity of you having having to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's talk about those times when, you know, you've wanted to leave the church. How many of you have wanted to leave your religious organization and have been threatened by the leadership from the pulpit? The pulpit would tell you things, such things that bad things were gonna happen to you. Those of you who tried were often threatened by the suggestion that they would that you would be out of God's will and bad things would happen to you. The loyalty of many of you within the membership is based on fear and intimidation. His Jezebel wife fueled his feverish manipulations with her own. She ruled surreptitiously behind his throne. Okay, talking about the pastor, his Jezebel wife. See, most of the time, or a great deal of the time, many of the masculine leadership in the church is fueled by their wives. Their wives become the power behind the throne, and the wife is operating under the spirit of Jezebel, and so she will rule him. Okay, she rules surreptitiously behind his throne. Most everyone knows that, but no one dares to speak a word. Okay, hush is the operative rule in this extended dysfunctional family, which the pastor calls a church. And then there's the strategy of flattery. Self-seeking people who rule the churches often flatter their prospects in order to win them to win them in. You too have so much to offer. It's a shame you aren't involved in a church somewhere. That one has been used on my wife and me a few times. We were said to be the poster couple for one church we attended. I think it was meant to flatter us, but it did not. Okay? Flattery is enticing, seductive, and deceitful. When we fail to see what is happening to us, we are taken in by it. It has the deceitful motive of complimenting us in order to win favor from us. A true compliment does not have an ulterior motive, but those who flatter are putting on the charm in order to get something from us for themselves. They are like the adulterous woman in Proverbs 7, 4, and 5, who preys upon believers who lack discernment. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinswoman, that they may keep you from the strange adulterous woman, from the stranger or the foreigner who flattereth with her word. That's the principle. You have got to beware of people, who flatter you in order to gain an advantage or to use your loyalty to them as an advantage to fulfill their agendas. You got to beware of that. Flattering speech, feigned words, fake words. People will use fake words. For instance, praise God, 2 Peter, the second chapter, the first verse says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or surreptitiously shall bring in damnable or destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. How do you deny the Lord? Well, you deny the Lord by denying the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow them pernicious or destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, with plastic words, make merchandise of you, make a business out of you. Are you listening? Whose end, whose judgment now of a long time slumbereth not, lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. These people are going to hell. The very people that you are allowing yourself to be flattered by are going to hell, and you're following them. You need to capitulate to the Spirit of the Lord, that still small voice deep within your spirit speaking to you and telling you to come out of the harlot system, the harlot church system. Come out of that. Flattery is enticing, seductive, and deceitful. When we see, when we fail to see what is happening to us, we are taken in by it. It has the deceitful motive of complimenting us in order to win favor from us. A true compliment does not have an ulterior motive, but those who flatter are putting on the charm in order to get something from us for themselves. They are like the adulterous woman in Proverbs 7:4-5, who preys upon believers who lack discernment. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinswoman, that they may keep you from the strange, adulterous woman, from the stranger who flatters with her words. Flattery is an appeal to the flesh for greatness, grandeur, sensual pleasure, success, and riches, having to do with things in the world. That's what flattery is about. People who flatter you are lying to you. And that's what you've got to understand. And those of you who are gullible to flattery, okay, or to flattering speech, are insecure about yourself. And the people who practice witchcraft on you recognize that, and they use that as a psychological ploy to overthrow you and to keep you from following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Possessiveness and ownership. Self-seeking people who rule the churches are typically possessive and claim ownership over their constituency. If they own you, they can control you. If they cannot control you, they will disown you. How many of you have gone through that in your religious organizations, in your religious institutions? When you try, you know, to express something contrary to their agenda, you get disowned. People throw you out. They want to throw you out of the church. Or if they don't throw you out, they influence other members of the congregation to stay away from you. You know this is going on in your life. And you hear the voice of the living God right now through this word that's coming to you. What you've got to do is make up your mind. You've got to make up your mind. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Make up your mind to capitulate or to submit to the leading of the Spirit of the living God within you. Membership in the churches is a claim of ownership that churches have over a set number of people. That's why when you're in the religious institutions, in the harlot church system, you are urged to become a member of the church organization. Okay? Because you have to understand, as a born-again believer, that you are already a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. You are already a member of the body of Christ. You don't have to become a member of a religious organization. Once you submit to becoming a member of a religious organization, you have to be subject to their rules, to their regulations, and in effect, they own you. And they are able to manipulate and dominate in order to control you. All churches and denominations do it. Pick any. In 1997, the Southern Baptist Convention reported 15,891,514 members and 40,887 churches. Why do we need to know how many people belong to us? Why do we need to know how many people were in Sunday school and worship services? Why is it important to compare this figure with this time last year? Who are we counting for? We count because we measure our success with numbers. Yet Jesus Christ said, where two or three of us are gathered together in his name, there we are in the midst. There he is, rather, in the midst of us. Two or three of us gathered together in his name, Jesus Christ is in the midst of that fellowship. Praise the Lord, and two or three of us can fellowship anywhere. We don't have to be a member of some religious organization to fellowship with one another. Please, don't be deceived. This is an excellent question. Why do we need to count people? You remember in the Old Testament what happened to David when he counted people. The Lord doesn't want us to count and keep tabs on how many people attended our services. He doesn't want that. That does not originate with him. I was in a meeting as a new believer and decided to count the attendance. A still small voice in my spirit interrupted and said, "Don't count. You don't know who counts." I found out in time as people came and went how right that was. Besides, are we not counting the tares along with the wheat? Jesus told us the wheat and the tares grow up together, Matthew 13:24-30. We do not always we do not always know who they are. If we need to count noses and know what we are including and know that we are including tares in that number, then we need to know that we are counting as God counts. We are counting something for self. We need to know that we are not counting as God counts. We are counting something for self. Perhaps we count to determine how strong we are. The Bible records three times when a census was taken of Israel. The first two times, God ordered it. God commanded Moses to take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years and older, numbering their armies, Numbers chapter 1. The second time, the Lord told Moses and Eleazar to take the census of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and upward, throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel, Numbers chapter 26. The third time is when King David ordered a census on his own. 1 Chronicles 21 tells us how Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. 2 Samuel 24:1 reports this story, saying, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, 'Go, number Israel and Judah.'" The key to what is going on here is found in verse 2 of both passages. David ordered the census, saying, "That I may know the number of people." God was greatly displeased with David and sent a plague upon Israel, killing 70,000 men. David's desire to count his increase resulted in great losses. He put his confidence in the strength of numbers rather than in God. It was good for God to count Israel. Israel belonged to him. It was not good for David to count Israel. Israel did not belong to him. David sought ownership of the citizenry for himself. It was something Satan put in his heart to do. Are you understanding? Every time the leadership begins to count, take a census of the membership, they're taking a census of the membership for themselves. And that means they're depending upon the membership to support them rather than depending on the true and the living God to support them. in their endeavors. It is something that they are doing for themselves. They are making a business out of the people of God for themselves. We are fascinated by numbers. We build our significance upon how big we perceive ourselves to be. Size is a matter of opinion. In order to determine how big we are, we have to compare ourselves with others. Comparing ourselves with others is a prideful and competitive spirit which has no place in the kingdom of God. Those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Church rulers relate to their church members as extensions of themselves. They validate themselves by their statistics. They feel they must possess people in order to keep them. Sonny was at the ballpark with his kids one steamy summer night and saw Pastor Gene. Sonny asked, "Do you have someone here?" "All of mine are here," he answered. Sonny was puzzled by his answer. Sonny knew Pastor Gene did not have children of his own playing ball that night. Pastor Gene explained, "If they are a member of my church, they belong to me." Sonny regretted later that he had not asked him at the time, "Do you really want that responsibility? They are not your sheep. They belong to Jesus." And the leadership has to know that, that the people are not yours. The people belong to God. I myself, praise the Lord, have evangelized in religious institutions and have preached messages that God gave me to preach. And at the end of the service, the pastor would take me to the side and tell me stuff like, "Well, we don't preach that here. We don't preach that kind of stuff here. We don't tell these people. We don't teach people like that. And we don't tell these people that. We're not preaching that kind of message in this church." I've gone through that experience where the leadership in the religious institution wanted to literally censor the message that God had given me to speak to the people. This is the kind of craziness, foolishness, and insanity that goes on in the harlot church system. Taking possession and claiming ownership of God's sheep is a very grievous thing to do. It's about hyperbole. Self-seeking people who rule the church and often hype things up to make themselves look good. Hype is, in this context, is trying to make the Holy Spirit happen in self-strength. Hype is what leaders do to pretend the presence of God. These leaders have to make their services look like God is moving in their midst, whether he is or not. He is not, so they substitute hype for spirit. They try to make things happen that are not happening, or try to make it look like things are happening when they are not. Hype is the practice of witchcraft. Let me say it again. Hype is the practice of witchcraft. We see and hear it in many charismatic church services, conferences, and meetings when the praise and worship leader prolongs the energized music for an hour or so, pretending that the Holy Spirit is present or hoping to invite or invoke his presence. When the Holy Spirit chooses not to manifest himself, the congregation may be browbeaten for not singing loud enough, clapping their hands long enough, praying hard enough, or dancing in the Spirit wild enough. Put your hands together and give the Lord a clap offering. Somebody give me an amen. We are manipulated to do and say things that we do not want to do and say, things that are not in our hearts to do and say. We fake it anyway because we do not want to stand out in the crowd to be thought of as rebellious or to be accused of quenching the Spirit. When we fake something, that makes us a fake Pharisee. It makes us false. It makes us a liar. I also have been in services where the presence of the Holy Spirit has been falsified in order to raise money from the assembly. Yeah, wow. Now, while the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God, the presence of the Spirit of God is here, let's get up, take an offering right now. Get out your pocketbooks and your wallets. Come on. Many of you have been in services like that, and you know that what the Spirit of God is saying to you about this witchcraft thing in the religious institution is right and exact. It is correct. And the Lord is telling you to come out of the harlot church system. Those who practice hype, such as we often witness on so-called Christian TV, falsely measure the Holy Spirit's presence by the loudness of the music, the emotional fervor of the audience, the fancy footwork of the preacher, the religious prompting of amens from the crowd, or the number of persons slain in the spirit, doing carpet time, as they say. Some ministries look to these things to validate themselves. You know, in some of the churches, you know, the preacher has to sing, preach. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you know that this thing is true. Glory be to God. Performance mentality. Many self-seeking people who rule the churches have turned their churches and ministries into entertainment centers and seek ministers who are crowd-pleasing showmen. Their theater-designed churches, church auditoriums, and entertainment-hungry congregations demand this performance mentality. Now, you know this is right. You know many of the musician ministers that come into the religious organizations. They are not minstrels. They are not real and true praise worshipers. Okay, they are religious entertainers, and they use their gifts and talents to entertain, to religiously entertain the church audience, as it were. You know this for yourselves. You know, praise the Lord, when the music is truly spiritual and when the music is truly carnal. You already know it for yourself. And the Spirit of God has given you the ability to discern when the music is from Him and when the music is from the flesh. You know it. You need to stop going into denial, praise the Lord, and repent and ask the Lord to deliver you from that kind of circumstance and situation. Hallelujah. I'm coming to a close, getting ready to come to a close in my time, but I want to make this statement before I close out the broadcast. Christian entertainment is big business today. The self-seeking, secular-owned executives within the so-called Christian music industry are driven by the corporate bottom line. If that which we call Christian can become an industry, it is not the real thing. Christian artists, the big ones, are called stars, are the product of this profit-driven industry and are themselves often driven by the need for popularity, money, possibly winning the coveted Dove Award. I suppose this award is considered Christian because of the dove, which symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Why do so-called Christian entertainers even want a trophy? Who are they performing for? Do they have a special cabinet at home in which to display them? Is their motivation to gain fame and fortune the same as those in the world, or is it a sacrifice of praise to the Lord without regard for personal gain? Ask yourself that question, musicians, minstrels of the gospel. Ask yourself that question. Is what you're doing in the music ministry for yourself, or is it for the Lord? You have to ask yourself that question. I have got to go now, but I want to pray for each and every one of you that have been listening to the message this afternoon, that if the message confirms that you are to come out of the harlot church system, please do so in submission to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Father, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you bless each and every listener that receives the message that you are broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. I thank you for blessing them and delivering them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.